Good morning. You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. And just for your information, the opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the university or the management of KUCI or the Board of Regents. For more information, go to KUCI.org. Welcome to In the Garden, hosted by UC Master Gardeners. My name is Mark Fairley, and I will be your host today. Today our subject will be something that I don't know a lot about, but would like to, because it's an interesting subject, and subject a little different than we normally do on In the Garden. It's a plant called staghorn ferns. And today we have an interesting expert on the subject, and he is Dr. Ken Schwarz. Ken, you know a lot about staghorn ferns, and I know it's pretty recent, but you've had a long background with them. Now, you're also a master gardener, is that correct?
That's right, Mark, and thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, it's great to have you. You're one of my heroes because of a number of reasons, and listening to you speak at our Master Gardener Toastmaster Club is an inspiration to me. But tell us about yourself. You're a doctor.
I'm a dentist, retired. I practiced in Newport Beach for 41 years, and then I became a master gardener in 2014 and enjoy studying botany, horticulture, and entomology, and everything that goes with master gardening, as well as having a venue to do some volunteer work.
How did you find out about the Master Gardener program?
I have friends that are master gardeners, and they encouraged me to do it. And my mother was a great gardener, and following in her tradition.
That is not a bad tradition, is it?
No.
Well, today we're going to talk about staghorn ferns. And tell us a little bit about how you got involved with staghorn ferns and went on actually to the next level to learn about them.
My mother actually started a staghorn fern for me when I was married, for our wedding, as a little side present for us, and that was 49 years ago. And I've kept the tradition alive by taking little plants from that mother plant and starting plants for my two children.
How about that? So two great things have survived from it.
That's right.
Your wedding, your children, and your plant.
Yes, it shows how long-lived these plants are if they're in the proper conditions.
That's an interesting cycle. Is it a difficult plant to maintain?
Not really. It's fairly easy, just not to let it dry out and to feed it occasionally. There's a lot of different ways to feed it. I, for many decades, just threw banana peels into it, and it did just fine.
My goodness. So they like certain things.
Yes, they do.
As far as nutrients, huh?
Yes. I'll go into that later when
Great.
We talk about the cultivation of
that
them.
That sounds good. Well, is there more than one type of staghorn fern, or how does that work?
They're commonly referred to as staghorn, moosehorn, or elkhorn ferns, and there's 17 known species of the Platycerium genus.
Why do they have that? Being known as elkhorn or staghorn is
it's because the fronds that come out of them that resemble a moose or an elk or a stag. When we have little children take our tours at Sherman Gardens, we hold up pictures of these animals and next to the ferns and show them, match up the horns with the fronds. And
are you saying that Sherman Gardens in Newport Beach or Corona del Mar is a good place to actually see them?
Yes, it is. It's one of our master gardener venues, and it's a wonderful place.
I know. I've been there and have done some talks there also.
Yes.
From time to time.
And I'm a docent there too.
Oh, how about that? That's part of the volunteer part.
Yes, it is.
As a master gardener, what we do is we volunteer our expertise and hours for the public of Orange County.
That's right.
So if people are interested in becoming a master gardener, they can click onto the Master Gardener website and get all the kind of information that shows it. But it's not just information that you will have. It'll be information that you will be able to disseminate to the public.
That's right. It's a big commitment.
Right. Now, getting back to our subject of the day, are the staghorn ferns, as we call them, are they an inside plant, an outside plant, or how does it work?
Well, they're native to tropical parts of Africa, Asia, Australia, and South America. They're basically an outdoor plant. And they grow on trees in the rainforest where they attach their little hair-like roots to the bark of trees. And they're epiphytes. They don't grow out of the ground. They're not parasites, but they're fertilized by means of fallen leaf litter and waste material from birds and animals in the jungle. And they gather these materials as well as moisture in their shield fronds. And warm, moist, humid conditions are ideal for their growth. So you want to keep them out of full sun in the shade.
A tropical plant.
Yes.
And so they can be maintained outside. How do you mount them or plant them if they do not go in the soil?
Well, there's not a right or wrong way to mount a platycerium within its environmental limitations. The mounting choice may be dictated by the fern's size, its location, the species, the aesthetics, and the available materials or personal preference. You can mount them on trees, and many sizable trees can tolerate these ferns. And they're attached to the trees with monofilament line. At Sherman Gardens, we have two large ferns, 20 to 30 feet high, in a Chinese flame tree.
Are you kidding me?
No, and they're spectacular. And at the Orange County Fair, we had a staghorn mounted on a 500-year-old California Valley oak stump that was supported by reclaimed barnwood. And the stump was sourced from Lake Hanshaw and had wheels added to its base for portability.
Could move it around.
Yes.
To adjust to the sunlight or the time of year.
And to show it off.
You mentioned, they're from a tropical environment, and so they normally like heat and shade. Are there partial sun?
Yes. Well, the most common staghorn, the bifurcatum, can actually take temperatures down to 25 degrees Fahrenheit for just a short amount of time. So they do very well in the coastal regions. You get inland where they're very hot and dry, they don't do as well.
I see. And so coastal is a great place.
Yeah, they like the moisture.
For them. Well, are there any problems that are paramount with the staghorn fern that are difficult to clear up or are difficult for the average gardener who would like to have one be able to take care of them?
They pretty much take care of themselves, but there are a few pests that are common to them. That includes thrips, scale, mealybugs, and fungal rots.
And that sounds scary.
They're not. It's you get a lot of these things on roses everything. And everything else.
Everything else that we're involved in.
Yeah. The thrips tend to take the chlorophyll out of the cells, and they create silver-gray patches on the fronds, and they can be treated with neem oil. The scale can attach to the undersides of the fertile fronds, and it can be also controlled with neem oil by spot treating with isopropyl alcohol.
Where do you get neem oil?
Neem oil can be purchased at any nursery.
Gotcha. It's easy to apply.
Yes.
Do you spray it on, or is it...
You spray it, generally speaking.
Okay.
And smothers them, but it's not really a poison.
Are there some signs that we can pick up that something is getting after our fern?
Well, it's basically the discoloration of the fronds, and with the if they get rot from too much water, it causes dark black brown isolated spots on the leaves, or a spreading necrosis, and that can be treated by letting the fern dry out completely and better managing the watering.
How often do you suggest watering? Say you're in a fairly consistent climate that doesn't get too hot or cold, maybe like where you live. Do you once a week give them a little water, or a couple times a week? Or
well, basically you want to develop a watering schedule so they won't dry out. And twice a week in summer for inland valleys, and more in hot, dry conditions. But once a week in winter is usually satisfactory unless we have a hot spell. And the ferns can be misted to temporarily increase the humidity.
Especially in when we get Santa Ana-type conditions.
Correct. Uh-huh.
Huh? Well, that's very interesting and very helpful for neophytes like me and maybe some of our listeners. But that helps a lot to know that they're fairly easy to maintain. Now, do you prune them, or how do you manage their growth if they're inside, or you don't want them to get too big?
Well, I like them big myself.
Sure.
Once they get to a certain size and overgrow if they're mounted on a board, then they can be remounted with leaving room for the expansion of the new plant. This can be done usually up to 3 times before the plant reaches its mature size.
Once they reach maturity, do they continue to expand or grow?
They will send out new growth. They have a flurry of growth usually in the spring, and it's possible to take pups or little cuttings of the fern to start new plants from them.
So pups are things you cut? Are they cuttings, or do they pull up off?
You have to cut them out.
Cut them up.
Yes.
And what do they look like?
They look like a very small plant. They have a bud and a small shield frond around it when it starts out. I should go over the different types.
Yeah,
of fronds.
Tell us the types.
Well, these ferns have 2 types of fronds: a fertile frond, which has spores on it, and a base or shield frond, which supports the roots, and they turn brown after a while. But the spore patches on the back of the fertile fronds the ones that have spore patches are called sporangia, and they're receptacles where the spores are formed and released.
Let's talk about that, spores, after we get done with this. And if you don't mind, I'm just going to take a little break here for 1 second to let our listeners know that you are tuning in to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. Back to you, Ken.
Thank you. They develop into different shapes and grow into patterns that identify the species of fern. These fronds can be long and broad, narrow, strap-shaped, long, short, deep-lobed, upright and forward, or downward and out. So of the 17 species, each one has a particular shape.
Sure. And can you get information on them normally at your nursery or wherever you...
The nursery has some... Usually if they have a horticulturist there, they can tell you about them if they sell them. Some of the local nurseries
So normally place. Not the big box stores?
No.
A good local nursery can be helpful.
Yes, it can. And we have a number of nice ones around that carry...
Tell us a little bit more on those fronds.
Well, I wanted to tell you about the size range. So smallest is the Madagascar Enzi that is 9 inches to 12 inches, and the largest is the Wilhelmi reginae, which is a shield frond of 6 to 7 feet across and 4 to 5 feet long. That's quite large. The bifurcatum is the most common of all staghorns. It has the roundish kidney-shaped shields to 12 inches in diameter, and erect or nodding fertile fronds up to 3 feet long. This particular one is native to Australia and Lord Howe Island, New Caledonia, and New Guinea. As I said before, it can take temperatures down to 25 degrees for short periods. And my neighbor actually has one that took 5 men to lift to hang on her fence.
Are you
by
kidding?
A chain. So they get
by
quite
a chain,
large.
Huh?
Yes, they're quite heavy when they.
And
get
do
that.
They actually attach to the self-attach to the fence?
No, they're actually mounted on a large board.
So they're but it's a great place to put them.
Yes. Uh huh.
Because they get shade and sun.
That's correct.
Not too much of each.
And it protects them from the wind, which...
Sure. And they can keep them warm during cooler seasons.
Yes. Again, about those pups, they can be stored for 3 to 4 weeks on moist sphagnum moss in a plastic pot before they're mounted. And they can be removed by just cutting them out with a knife.
Are you kidding me? That sounds pretty simple.
It is.
Even
really
somebody
is.
As stupid as me can probably
there is
hang
a,
in with that.
There is a horticulturist up in Santa Barbara that has begun to propagate these plants by tissue culture, and that should make them much more affordable and easy to obtain. Very much like the Phalaenopsis orchids have been.
Interesting. Any more on that subject?
Let's see. Well, as far as giving fertilizer to the fertilizing the fronds, I mentioned that I like to use banana peels, but
you just take cut up the banana peels into small.
Yeah, just throw them in there
and just toss them in.
But staghorns can be fertilized or should be fertilized about every 2 months, and they suggest changing the type of use. They can use spoonit, blood meal, fish emulsion, or commercial crystal and liquid forms of fertilizer. And when they're fertilized, they need to be thoroughly watered after each application.
And probably a little bit before.
Yes. I did want to mention on the mounting, I mentioned tree mounting, but board mounting, redwood or cedar is the best, and you need to add a chain or a hook on the back so to mount them. And they need a layer of sphagnum moss between the fern and the board, and that can be attached to the board by some chicken wire or nylon mesh, leaving room at the top for water and the nutrients to come down. It's also helpful to use small wood screws for attaching the monofilament or wire around the plant to support it, or holes drilled through the board itself.
Sure.
It's much like hanging a picture.
Sure. Interesting. Good tip, too. Some very good tips on mounting and maintaining and where to put. I like that very much. Thank you. I know our listeners will appreciate it, too. And it sounds like it can be something to give a great wedding present that will be a reminder of all the years together after a long time. How long can they live?
I really don't know.
Forever, almost, because even if the mother plant goes, you have the pups
are
the children.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting. I would like to know a little bit more about the spores.
Okay.
What can you tell us a bit about that?
Yes. Well, these plants are ancient plants, and they really evolved before the pollinating insects. So they were around before then, so they had to have a means, as all ferns do, to reproduce. So spores are minute reproductive bodies of the ferns that are released from these sporangia. And they grow into little 1 centimeter tall plants called prothallia. The singular of that is prothallium, which contain half of the fern's gene count. And these prothallia, then once fertilized, will create a new fern plant called a sporophyte, and that grows into the adult fern.
So in place of seeds, we have spores.
That's right.
I've never dealt with spores, and it would be interesting to learn about. I'm going to check that out. Are they an expensive plant for someone to purchase? Would you know?
I'm not sure on the. I've seen them.
You probably don't buy them. You propagate them.
No, I've had them for a long time, but
sure.
I've seen them for around $30, some of the mounted ones. The
mounted ones,
pre-mounted already. Huh?
Pre-mounted. So you can actually be pretty creative in your mounting process.
That's right. I've seen them just as a square and with a frame around them like a picture, some tilted up as a diamond shape, and some with the corners cut off to form like an octagon.
Oh, my goodness. Isn't that interesting? Now, do you have some favorites? You mentioned there are a number of types of the staghorn variety of ferns. Do you have some favorites?
Well, of course, my favorite is the one my mother gave me, and that's the most common one and easiest to grow, I think.
What is that called?
That is the Placentarium bifurcatum, and that's the most common, and you'll see that when they're sold.
Well, that is a mouthful.
It is.
And do they have a common name that you know of?
Well, that's just staghorn.
Okay.
And bifurcatum means these shield fronds on that one grow a half at a time, so bifurcate, you know, half. And they grow a half at a time, then they turn brown and in the back as they die off, and they expand very nicely, and they're very well suited to our climate.
Interesting along that line. So I wish I had it written down. But there must be a a way for us to, well, people can listen to this later on a podcast if they want to get some of the technical terms.
Yes, but some of these ferns take up to 5 to 7 years of growth before they even produce the first fertile fronds, so it takes a long time to propagate some of these, and so the rarer ones are much more expensive. And like I said, I think the cost will come down as the tissue.
Sure. How they go along.
Yeah.
And I imagine it's easy to purchase mounting.
Mounting materials?
Materials from your local gardening store, I'm sure.
Yes, or sphagnum moss is very easy. You know, chicken wire, a board, any lumber store, you can get that.
Yeah.
Like I say, cedar or redwood are probably the preferred material for that.
Best material. Well, that's been interesting. Do you have some other subjects that you can inform us about that you think are important?
Well, I think I mentioned the basic shape or the basic components of these ferns being the base or shield fronds, and their main purpose is to collect and hold the moisture and the food and protect the root system. And they're sterile and they turn brown as they die back, but they shouldn't be removed from the plant because they're also used to identify the species too.
Hmm.
And like I said, the bifurcatum, they grow in two halves, starting one half at a time and covering the old growth. And they stay green until they finish their growing cycle. And the other point the other component of the fern is called the bud, which is the point of all new growth, where all new growth occurs. And it's sometimes covered with scales. And damaging that bud can actually result in killing the fern. And some species only have one bud, where others have multiple buds, as does the bifurcatum, the more common
sure.
one. And as the bud grows outward, it elongates to form a modified stem called a rhizome. So you want to take care of those, and that's what forms these new pups, too.
Buds are very important.
That's correct.
Anything else you'd like to relate that our listeners can pick up on?
Well, the colors of these ferns range from whitish gray to gray green to a light to medium green and very deep dark green. And sometimes the shape, the color and the size of the fronds will depend on how much light is there. If there's too much light, they'll tend to be lighter or bleached out. And then a deeper, darker green and larger leaves
darker area.
Less light.
Interesting.
So they really do need filtered light.
Yeah. Well, Ken, this was a great talk. I learned a lot today, and I've taken a bunch of notes here for my own personal reasons and would like our listeners to listen to our podcast when the opportunity comes, if they need more information, or they can go to the Master Gardener website and ask for information, especially if they're having problems. The website you want to go to, folks, is uccemg.com, or if you are having a problem, go to our hotline. hotline@uccemg.com. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mark. Thanks for having me.